Welcome back, everyone.
I'm Nicole.
And I'm Crystal. You're listening to Las Brujas and Friends podcast.
A podcast where we talk about legends and paranormal stories, sprinkled with true crime, extraterrestrial, and the like.
A little disclaimer. We're not professionals. We're not historians. We just love everything scary.
If you haven't already, which you should have, subscribe to and review this podcast.
In this episode, I am accompanied by Troy.
Hello.
My husband. Nicole is not here for this episode. And that is because we're going to talk about something Troy actually experienced firsthand.
Really scary, a little creepy, gotta be honest.
It isn't so much a haunted story, a paranormal story, but it definitely has to deal with hell and that realm.
Yeah, my parents, especially my mom, used to scare me with some of these stories. She would always used to say, you can't hit your mom. You can't hit people because if you do,
then bad things will happen. So yeah. What we're talking about today, we're going to get into the bad things that happen, all about sins. What we're talking about today is a very famous, popular temple in Thailand. From the research I did, it says that it is in the city of Chonburi.
Okay.
Yeah. You're going to do all of the Thai words. So it's in this town or in this city, and it's near a beach. What beach is it near?
I don't even know how to say that. Bang Sayen Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Thale. That's how you say it in Thai.
Okay. So there's a temple in the city, and the temple is known to have a place called Hell's Garden. And from what I saw, it looks like Hell's Garden. It's intense. It's intense.
Yeah, like for a child, it's definitely there to scare you into behaving. So my mom used to tell me, like, if you hit people, you would go to hell and your hands would be these huge whatever. If you kick people, your feet would be enormous.
So it's kind of like what everybody, I think, learns at one point in their life about how if you do something bad, then eventually you end up paying for it on the other side.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. It's kind of like a lesson. They try to teach you a lesson through these things. Okay, so about this garden. Let's talk about this garden. Let's get into more detail so people know exactly what we're talking about. Because I know what I'm talking about. You know what you're talking about. But maybe mostly a lot of people out there are not going to know what the heck we're talking about.
Yeah.
This place is a temple, like I said, and it houses a huge garden. Like, that's, you went there when you were little. Did it feel as big as it looked to me on videos?
I mean, I was pretty small. I was probably like third grade. It felt pretty big, though, and they don't joke around. Like, the statues of the things I was talking about, like the people with the big hands and the big feet.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're not as tall as it seemed because I was small, but they look huge to me.
No, they looked giant.
Yeah.
So this temple houses these huge gardens, but its main attraction is Hell's Garden. In this garden, and I'm doing like air quotes garden because in this particular spot doesn't seem to have many plants or flowers. It has many, many statues depicting what hell will look like for you if you are a person who
is going to hell.
And it sins. Yeah. Somebody who goes to hell. I went into this looking up what Hell's Garden in Thailand is. But then to my surprise, I saw that it's this beautiful temple and it's surrounded by not just Hell's Garden and a temple, but heaven as well. Do you remember seeing the heaven side of this place?
I don't
place?
Remember that part. I only vividly remember the hell side.
I would remember that more too if I was a kid because it's really disturbing. So if you guys are not into gory or gruesome things,
this is not for you.
Yeah, I would not listen to this podcast because it's a very gruesome. If you can't handle listening to it, definitely don't look it up on Google. Don't look up videos on YouTube. It's not something for somebody with a weak stomach.
No. And I remember going and I was like, Mom, you really brought me here?
We'll get into like the more descriptions of the statues. But like I was saying, okay, so this place is beautiful from what I saw. And it's kind of deceiving because when I saw somebody's video where they drove in the entrance and they walked like from very beginning till where they went to Hell's Garden. And it's very deceiving because it's like, wow, it's so nice. This is someplace I might want to visit one day. And everything's so beautiful and lush and green and then gold. Bam. And it's literally like you turn a corner and you're in hell.
Yeah.
But I think the message, it's very spiritual. I feel like that message came through without me even having to listen to anything, because there are plenty of statues outside of Hell's Garden that show scenarios or scenes of happier times. So there's people like in Nirvana, like in bliss, or what did you call it
earlier? It's an enlightenment.
Enlightenment. So it's very deceiving when you're just perusing around the outside parts of Hell's Garden. But then again, it is very spiritual. I got the message. It was like, if you do good things, if you pray, and if you, because they have statues of monks, and then they have statues of people kneeling down and like praying and meditating and doing all that. I don't know too much about Buddhism, so I'm guessing if you do that, it's a good thing.
You're supposed to reach a state of enlightenment. So like the quick cliff notes is, you're going to be reborn, mm-hmm. and you will continually be reborn until you reach nirvana or enlightenment. And that's basically like the end of suffering.
That's really interesting. I fell down a rabbit hole earlier where I was looking up demons, because that's where this all started, is we wanted to talk about demons and it turned into Hell's Garden in Thailand. So I was trying to learn about demons and the origination of them and like how demons came about and all this stuff. And then I fell down a Christian YouTube channel that talks all about the beginning. And it's kind of the same thing where Jesus comes down and dies for his sins. But the whole point of him coming to our earth is to guide us to enlightenment.
Yeah, but, the path to heaven.
Yeah.
And through, to get to heaven, you have to go through Jesus or be a believer. And
yeah, so it's very interesting.
It's kind of the same.
How similar it is. Yeah.
But
the Thai people don't mess around.
No, we go pretty hard when it comes to that kind of stuff.
So some backstory to the garden, which I don't think you know about the backstory, is that it's a product of the head monk. I don't know if he's the head monk of the whole temple or if he's just the head monk of this specific garden area.
He might just be the head monk for now, too. I mean, they rotate. They, depending on, I think they can come and go as they please. I don't think it's a for life thing.
Oh, okay. That's how I thought. I thought wrong. He was like the head monk and that was like his spot.
From what I remember, there's like two levels of it. There's the monk, if you want to be a monk. And then it's like a monk in training. It's called a nain.
You did that, didn't you?
I did that a couple times. That's like more temporary, like 3 months, less than that.
Well, in this video that I saw that he had like head monk. So yeah. I don't think they throw that around.
If you're doing that, it might be a for life thing or at least a few years. Because I remember the person that would teach us had been there for a few years. But I also remember somebody else who was kind of rotating their way out and rejoining civilian life. It's weird. You gotta stop eating at around noon or your lunch meal.
It's like a whole strict regimen.
Yeah, I woke up at 6 a.m.
Oh, man.
For a 12-year-old is not easy.
I'm not 12 and waking up at 6 a.m. is not easy.
No. So you get up super early, you go to the temple, you pray, you chant. I may have fallen asleep a couple times during the meditation.
I'm sure you did. You fall asleep at the drop of, what is the saying? Drop of a dime?
Drop of a hat.
Drop of a hat. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to have, wait, before we like deter too much, can you pronounce the monk's name for me?
Vishan Chalikorn. Okay. I think that's it. Yeah.
So that's that. What is the
head monk? Pra is like monk.
So I have it written down as pra
kru, which is,
but apparently
teacher.
I was redundant and that just means monk teacher.
Maybe he's the instructor. Because when I was a monk or when I was doing the thing, we had one guy who would teach us every day, and he taught us like the different chants. He told us kind of the story and the background to Buddhism and what it was all about. So maybe that's what it was.
Well, it took this monk 6 years to build Hell's Garden. And the video I saw was 2016. So if it was 6 years from then, that means the garden was in 2010.
Oh, so the one I must have saw must have been like an OG one.
But it doesn't look like it's ever been touched. So that confused me too, because I was like, or maybe he said it took him 6 years, but that was when he started it. And this video just so happened to be produced into the video wasn't very thorough. I had Troy translate a few things because I was like, I know this monk is saying way more than what the subtitles are giving me. There's way more context behind it. So
it's not an easy language to translate either. There's a lot lost in translation. And so, knowing me, I probably messed up some words too. So,
well, it took him 6 years to build the garden. I don't know when he built it. Must have been a long time ago because you went there when you were really young. Well, not that long ago. I'm not calling you old.
No, it was a long time ago. I mean, I'm 32. It was probably like 24 years ago.
He said he created this with a very small budget, but he doesn't say how much he spent on it. And I don't know how much statues cost, so I don't know.
He didn't spend any money out of pocket.
There's little donation boxes everywhere.
And money, like that's how temples, well, Thai temples anyway, that's how they operate. It's everything is based off a donation.
Yeah, I mean, I think
most churches are like that too.
Yeah, you have to pay something. So the statues, okay, this was a little interesting. The statues that are there were all created based on visions he saw in his mind, which when I start talking more into detail about descriptions of these statues, it's a little intense that these are visions he saw, because these statues are gruesome.
Yeah, they're terrifying. Like the ones I remember seeing were terrifying. And I guess that kind of proves the point, right? Like I always thought it was like old wives' tales to scare your kids to being good.
Mm-hmm.
But once you see it as a kid, you're like, nope, not doing that ever again.
As an adult seeing it, I was like, yeah, if that's what it looks like, maybe. I want no part of that. Maybe I won't go out and murder somebody tonight, but I wouldn't really do that anyways. Okay. Anyways, the garden is supposed to visually depict Naraka. Does that sound familiar?
No.
Which is Buddhist hell. So this garden has a bunch. I call it Hell's Garden because that's, I think, the more popular name for it. But it has a bunch of different names. A lot of people also refer to it as Buddhist Hell Garden. So anyways, that's what the garden is supposed to visually depict. So the monk says that obviously people go to the temple to confess their sins. And I guess he was trying to find a more innovative way to get the message of enlightenment across. He got sick of hearing people coming to the temple and confessing the same stuff over and over again, that he wanted to create the garden to visually show people
what would happen
if they committed certain sins. And he wants the garden to help people think about goodness and morality. This isn't necessarily to scare people, but obviously it does. But his whole mission is to spread or have people get closer to enlightenment. He says for this place to be successful in his eyes will be if the statues remind people of the ramifications of sin and deter them from possibly committing crimes that they think of. And that's all I have. Do you have any back info that you remember about this place?
No, other than like that's, and there seemed to be like a punishment for everything. So like I said earlier, like if you hit people when you're not supposed to, then that's one punishment. Like the big hands, big feet. But then if you're like a drug addict, that's a whole nother one. Or if you kill somebody, that's a whole nother one. And it's, from what I remember, for eternity. Like you're stuck just doing that. Like you don't get another shot.
Yeah. So one of the first things I noticed from the videos, and then I saw, I think, Wikipedia. I went to Wikipedia. I hate going to Wikipedia, but that was the first thing that popped up. The first thing that draws your attention when you walk in here is these two really large statues in the middle of the place. Do you remember them? They're extremely tall. Like
no, I just the only tall, thing I remember tall. It was really hot and I kept looking up and seeing these things and they're terrifying.
You were little, so everything probably looked big, but these statues in the middle look like they're 10, 12 feet tall. They're giant.
That's about, I mean, if I had to estimate right around there, maybe even taller.
But so I was also maybe, really little. Well, so. Just these two main ones. And then if you would like to look at my notes and tell me what that says and what that says.
I don't know if those are.
Thai?
Yeah.
So one, so there's two large figures in the middle of the garden, and they're taller than all the other statues there. And one of them is called, what do you think
it is? Nigian.
And the other one is?
Nang Tong. That's me loosely trying to
put make it Thai.
Sprinkle some Thai in there.
These two figures that are in the middle of the garden are creepy looking. They kind of look a little bit like a knockoff Tim Burton, right?
Okay.
Very sunken in eyes, very large round eyes. They're all sickly skinny.
With this white and pasty?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember those.
So these two things, they have like super long necks. They have big bellies. And what does it say? I'm looking at my notes. I'm sorry. I'm reading like crooked because I don't have my desk in front of me. There's no video for this one.
Yeah, there's no video element for this one, guys.
It's been a struggle recording this podcast. I am so sorry. All of our schedules have been completely opposite. And it's been really hard to get into the studio office and record. So there's no video. I don't have my desk. We're on a different recording setup. It's a disaster right now. But I'm trying to do something to release tomorrow.
It's all good, Friday. Guys. Just enjoy.
Just enjoy this gruesome Thai Hell's Garden. So, okay, these two large figures in the middle, they look really sickly. They're really tall. And they mark them, or I guess they call them Preta. And that means hungry ghost. And it's of Thai folklore, which I want to look into more because I don't know. Thai folklore. I've never heard anything of it. Do you know anything of that?
Not really. I'd rather not because Thai folks, we're crazy when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very intense.
Like even so a lot of people get scared of some of the stuff with like horror movies and stuff out here, but Thai folks take it to the next level.
It's like almost like Japanese. I guess I'll compare it to Japanese because people
that makes sense
know a little bit more about Japanese horror. Thai horror is up there.
Yeah, it's even for like the TV stuff, the stuff that they make for TV. Like they would do like short miniseries, maybe 10, 20 episodes. And it's no joke. I remember one of them and I'm still scared of it to this day. Kasu, it's just a floating head, a spine and a heart.
I looked it up. I was very curious as to why he would always refer to this. And I looked it up and it was so terrifying.
It's terrifying. Like it scares me to this day. There's another one where they play on the whole idea of reincarnation. Like this girl they kill her by trapping her in some garage closet or something. And she prays to come back in the next life. Mm-hmm. And then she does.
But she comes back scary.
No, she doesn't come back. She comes back as a regular human, but she gets them back.
Oh.
For doing that to
she
her.
Goes rogue?
Yeah. So
she got a second chance and she went rogue? She's going to end up in Hell's Garden.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what happened. Oh,
happened. She's already dead.
She had died, but her spirit was she was reincarnated into another body.
So she's a fallen angel.
But with all of her memories.
Okay, so she's a fallen angel.
Maybe.
That makes sense.
It was terrifying. That one wasn't as bad. It wasn't like she was like carry and popping people's heads or anything like that.
but you still remember.
But I remember that one. That one was just the idea of it scared me.
Let's get back to the statues, what everyone wants to listen to, because we've been building it up this whole time.
Oh.
Around the two tall statues, like the two main statues, there are 21 tortured souls. So we're going to get into it. Each of these souls, so it's 21 statues of human figures, and they are tall. Like you said, they're probably like 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
Like if you're standing next to one, they're pretty tall. And all of these have animal heads. And the animal head represents a different sin. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that part.
They surround it in a circle, and it looks really creepy because it looks, you know, there's animal head human statues surrounding these two tall, creepy things. So I saw someone's video where they kind of went around and read the little plaques. There's plaques at every scene statue. I say scene because it's not just one singular statue in most of these scenes. There's always like something they're trying to show you what would happen if you committed a sin. So anyways, these 21 tortured souls, I was watching this guy's video, and the first one he goes to is a crustacean. And this one was a little bit more disturbing because it looks like a giant shrimp eating someone's head. I don't know if they have a shrimp head or if the shrimp is eating their head, but this is supposed to represent people who are involved with drugs.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And then we'll just go down the list of what I saw in this video. So if you do gambling or have gambled, you have a horse head, or you're represented on the other side with a horse head. If you destroy the plants and sell habit-forming drugs, you have a goat head. If you destroy the wilderness, you have an elephant or a deer head. If you steal other properties, you are represented as a monkey. If you are corrupt or participate in corruption, you're represented by a pig. If you steal others' dry cooked rice, you're a bird.
Okay.
That one was so like far left. I was like, excuse me? So I guess stealing someone's rice is a thing.
That's very specific.
It's very specific.
Like versus just stealing?
Mm-hmm. If you demolish other people's things, you're a rat. And if you steal aquatic animals, you're a fish. The 21 tortured souls surrounding these two figures is nothing compared to the other statues that they have in this place. Do you remember any specific statues that just stayed with you?
No. It was mainly like the two big ones just because they're the first ones you see.
Mm-hmm.
But the other ones, like, I just remember each one having like a specific, like somebody getting stabbed with a pike.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's just stuff like that.
A pike? What's a pike? I saw a spear.
Kind of the same thing.
Same thing. Yeah, oh, same okay. Thing.
Just like a weapon. They were just stabbing into somebody. Like people getting cut open.
But do you remember why?
No, I don't remember why. Oh, okay. I think I tried to tune most of that out at that point in my life.
I would have. So one of the few that they showed a lot was abortion, which is a very sticky topic, and we're not going to express how we feel about it. But I guess in Buddhism, that is a sin if you ever have an abortion. And one of the statues that depicted what would happen to you in hell is the woman was a ghost and she was eating her unborn child.
Oh, no, don't.
It's bad in there. It's really bad. And then I guess not even the abortion part, but if you take any birth control or you inject birth control into your body, that is considered a sin. And the statue that depicted what would happen to you then was a woman being sodomized.
That's crazy.
It's bad. And I'm not saying like you interpret it as a woman being sodomized. Like, no, it's a statue of a naked woman.
Oh, they don't hold anything back.
No,
it's
with
completely
red paint in her area, like she's being, you know, really badly tortured. It's gory. It's
no, they don't
gruesome.
Mess around. Like every detail that you can think of in like a really terrible, terrible, gory movie, they go for it.
They go for it 100%.
Maybe,
nothing left to the imagination. Yeah.
Little, maybe a little extra too.
Yeah, like maybe
just to make sure you get the point.
Yeah, the one with the woman eating her unborn child, umbilical cord, like
yeah,
everything. It's disgusting. It's so bad. But it goes back. I go back to this is what the monk had a vision of, and then brought it to life. And I'm not saying like he's bad or anything. I'm just saying like that is intense if he's having visions of these things.
Yeah, that's a very intense vision.
Very intense. There's one part, it's called the prisoner's execution. And this is where people, again, who sell or use drugs are killed execution style. I guess, like you said, it's forever.
Yeah.
So they're just being shot. Execution style over and over. So the statue, that scenario scene is the person, the sinner, it has their back to the person shooting a gun. So I mean, nobody wants to die that way over and over again.
Yeah, that's crazy. That reminds me of like, what was that movie, Adam Sandler movie, where he was like a demon and he came out of hell?
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. Little Nicky, yeah.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing where Adolf is taking a pineapple up the butt every day for eternity.
I remember that.
Right? Like, it's stuff like that, but not funny.
But not funny at all. And nothing left to the imagination. Like, you see it all, everything. All of the statues are naked.
Yeah.
Like, practically every single one of the sinners are naked. The other one that I had you watch with me was the one, people who were under the influence and committed a sin. So in this specific one, I guess the person was under the influence of drugs and they ran somebody over. Right. And this is the one I had you help me translate, because the subtitles weren't giving me as much context as I knew that the monk was explaining. So I guess the person killed somebody
while under the influence.
And so for the rest of eternity, they'll continue to run people over and have to experience that over and over and over again. See, I originally thought that they were the ones being ran over.
No.
But I guess it's the other way around, which I guess is just as bad or worse.
Because now you have to relive it.
You have to relive what you did for making a choice that you knew you shouldn't have done in the first place.
Yeah, that's tough. No, not for me. I would have a tough time going back.
Yeah, I would never go there. I'm sorry, but I would not go there. It's really, it's so sad. It's very sad. But there was one that kind of made me chuckle. The one that you kind of saw. Because Troy doesn't really like looking at this stuff. So I don't really like to show him too many things that might get into his head.
Kind of stuff, despite being Thai.
This one was, it kind of made me laugh because apparently this statue represented people who can't, or people who talk nonsense. That's what the subtitle said. But you said it was people who disrespected their parents. Yeah,
if you say disrespectful things, whether it's about your parents or family or whatever, like just things that you shouldn't be saying.
Lying.
Like just anything in the context of speaking.
In the wrong way or in a sinful way.
Yeah.
So the statue was kind of like a human, I guess. Yeah, like a human statue, because like I said, a lot of these have like animal heads or some of them are full animals. It's strange in there. So this one had more of a human like figure and it had a really big belly and then a super long neck, like a giraffe neck. And then since they had, I guess, like a big mouth or they loose
talking,
lips.
Talking inappropriately kind of thing.
What the depiction was, their head was small and they had like a pin size whole mouth. That one kind of made me laugh. I was like, okay, that would be a funny joke, right?
But I think all of them have something to do with why you're there in the first place.
Yeah, but that one was a little bit more comical to me because it's like, oh, you talk too much in your human form, so we're going to give you a pin-sized whole mouth.
So you can't talk at all. Yeah.
I'm sorry. That one made me laugh.
They all drive home the point. That's for sure. You definitely, there's no like.
Can you imagine a tiny pinhole mouth? But how do you have such a big belly if you can't eat?
I don't know. I think that's just part of it. That's just part of the damnation.
There was another one that it said that if you can't keep secrets, then the statues, it was a statue with two humans or two people or whatever. One was laying down. The other one was ripping their guts out.
Yeah, I know. I remember that one.
And that was to kind of expose you because you exposed people's secrets in your human life.
It's stuff like that everywhere. It's terrifying, especially when you're a little kid.
There was one part of the garden where there is a monk, a statue of a monk, like a regular monk in his robe and everything. But then the sinners who have been in hell are at the monk's feet, kind of. I mean, he's in like crisscross applesauce, but they're like beneath him and they're begging for forgiveness because they have been in hell for so long dealing with their sins over and over again that they're begging. And the way they create these statues, they're so sickly. They're so like their ribs are all sticking out. Their skin is saggy.
The pot belly,
the sunken eyes, the sunken cheeks, it's so sad. So somebody on one of the tours asked, okay, so they learn from their mistake and they're asking for forgiveness. They're begging for forgiveness. Do they get to go to heaven? And the person doing the tour was like, no, they just continue to suffer. So even though, I guess, in hell, when you realize what you've done was wrong and you're ready to turn yourself to God.
It's weird because I don't know where that falls in line with the whole idea of reincarnation, right? Like, if you're supposed to be striving for nirvana and enlightenment, at what point does the system just go, you know what, you're too far gone, you're going to hell?
You must be, you've seen this place. If anybody who hasn't seen this and sees it will know that you must have been a pretty bad person to end up there.
Maybe it's just as long as you continue to strive toward nirvana versus like, forget it, I'm going to go take drugs and run somebody over.
I mean, there are a lot of people like that. If you think about it, really hard, there are a lot of people that are like, I don't care, I'm just going to do drugs because I want to do drugs, even though I know they're bad. Yeah. Or do whatever. I mean, think about, we covered Ted Bundy in the last one. He was just, he said, this wasn't in the podcast, I went down a Ted Bundy hole, and he said that he would pick people who looked like a victim. People, he said, it was kind of like if you see somebody who's a little shy or a little timid, you kind of like give them their space because you're like, okay, they don't want to be bothered. They're not that type of person. Ted Bundy did the opposite. He took full advantage of them and did bad things to them and killed them. So I think people who end up in this Thai hell, in this Buddhist hell, that's the type of person they are.
Yeah.
It's not somebody who does feel guilt or wants redemption after they know they did something wrong.
Yeah, a bit of a sociopath.
Yeah, I guess. You talked about the spear, and there was a statue, and the plaque said that if someone was dishonest to the duty, they get a spear in the back. I don't know what the duty is. I don't know if that meant to the church. I don't know if that meant...
I'm not sure either.
Just living their right life.
Maybe if I had got a translation, or if I heard somebody in Thai
translate the plaque. Yeah, because the translations were very choppy.
I'm sure that's just a Thai person who kind of knows English.
Yeah, and I'm sure this plaque was made when the place was made, and they were like, yeah, it's good enough.
Yeah, close enough. I think that's what it says. Yeah.
So this one, I guess if you were dishonest to the duty, whatever the duty might be, you're laying down or the sinner is on the ground and then somebody is just repeatedly stabbing them in the back with a spear. And it's a big spear with a bunch of red paint. And then the person on the floor has a bunch of red paint all over their back. And you get full picture of what happens if you're dishonest to the duty. So do not be dishonest to the duty.
Whatever that means.
And the last one that I remember that stood out to me in the videos was a homewrecker or somebody who cheats. This one was a pretty big scene. It was a tree. It was a spiky tree. And the people who are homewreckers or cheaters or whatever, they are trying to run away from dogs that are chasing them, but the only thing that's around are these trees. So they're climbing up spiky trees and they're naked.
Yep.
So there's blood always dripping naked all over the place. And not only that, but then there are people around them with spears stabbing them. So if you're a homewrecker,
you want to rethink your life plan.
You're going to see a lot of pokey things in hell.
Oh, no.
It was that one was a pretty big statue scene of what happens to you if you're a homewrecker.
That's terrifying.
It's terrifying. When you see it, talking about it is one thing, but when you actually see it life size, bigger than life size, even through videos, I got really irked out. I had to stop a couple times and regroup and remember that I'm just going to talk about it. I'm never going to go there. I don't think I'll ever go to this guardian. It looks really intense. I think I would cry and repent all of my sins. Man. I'd be putting donations in every box. This place is extremely gruesome, like we've said a million times now. Again, if you're not into this, if you don't think you can handle this,
don't Google it.
Don't Google it. Don't look it up. If you do, please comment, write me so I can talk to somebody else about this. It's so disturbing. And I don't know. Oh, you went as a kid. And in a lot of the videos I saw plenty of children there.
Well, when you're immersed in the culture and you're immersed in it, I think that's, it's not really a thing anymore. Like, it's not scary when you're just around it every day.
But
I mean, it's terrifying.
It's terrifying.
Especially like a young mind. But like, if you're just around it every single day, I don't think it's as big of a thing. And you understand the cultural and the religious aspect of it. Like, it's not there to terrify you. It's there to teach you a lesson.
I mean, I got the point.
Yeah.
When right? I saw the full tour from the beginning to the Hell's Garden, I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah. And I think that's what they're trying to drive home. But they're doing it in like the most vivid way possible.
Oh, yeah. This monk was not messing around.
And just think about how terrifying it is for him, because that came to him in a vision.
He seemed pretty happy-go-lucky guy.
Yeah, he probably is. And I'm sure part of it is just being immersed in that.
From the video I saw with the interview that they did with him, he seemed very passionate about his work. He wants people to find enlightenment. He wants people to live a sin-free life, which is damn near impossible in the world we live in.
It is impossible. Well, I think it's just impossible because we're human.
But monks do a good job of it.
But part of the reason why is their ability when it comes to discipline, right? They live in such a disciplined life. And I think that's what most people are missing.
So you said you woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And what did you do at 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock. By 6:30, you had to be dressed.
Did you have to, your bed had to be made and everything? Yep.
Well, we didn't have beds. We slept on the floor.
Really?
We were allowed like a thin pad.
But you had to roll it up, right?
No, you just had to clean it up.
Oh, okay.
So for me, like I found a thin pad and I slept on one end, but there were three of us. So like monks and then the monks in training, you can't sleep together. You can't be in the same room. So I slept with two other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like the monks in training. We did 2 weeks, each of us, 2 or 3 weeks. And we'd wake up.
That's an intense summer camp.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, 2 weeks worth of that. So you'd wake up at 6:30, you get to the temple. It's freezing.
Really? I thought it was always humid and hot in Thailand.
Oh, no, I did it in California.
Oh, you didn't even do it in
I did it once in Thailand.
In the homeland?
That was only one day. And that was for like a taking my grandmother to heaven.
I'm sure you wish that your monk in training was in Thailand.
Yeah, so that one was for one day, but they went hardcore. Like they took a razor and they shaved my eyebrows. The one day.
It was a grandma?
Razor to my eyebrows and a razor to my head.
Yeah, I recently saw the pictures, maybe like a month ago?
Yeah.
And I was like, did they shave your eyebrows?
Yeah, they shave and it's once every full moon. It got to the point where like when I fell asleep the night before the ceremony, the pillow stuck to my head. Like I woke up and I lifted my head and the pillow was still stuck to it.
What material is this pillow made?
Yeah, I don't know. It was like Velcro.
Wait, once every full moon they shave?
Yeah. So it's once a month. It's every 20
But
days.
You did this for grandma.
Yeah.
So they waited until the full moon.
No. That's
Oh, this
that's
was like a ceremony.
Yeah, this is like a ceremony.
Okay, so this wasn't her burial.
No.
I was about to say, how long did they wait?
It was.
Wait, so how long did they keep her body?
It's like on your first day you shave, and then from that point on, it's every full moon.
Oh, okay, got it.
So
your initiation, you're getting shaved.
Yeah, you're getting shaved. So did all that. But when I did it in California, I believe I only had to do it once. And they were a little more Americanized, I guess. So they grabbed clippers and they put it on a half or a one and they just buzz everything. I think I left my eyebrows alone too.
You got to keep your eyebrows.
I got to keep the eyebrows. But yeah, 2 weeks of that. So you do chanting and meditation in the morning that I fell asleep.
That's
and then
meditation. People fall asleep all the time doing meditation.
You can have breakfast. So
what do you mean you can have breakfast?
So you can have you get to eat breakfast. You have to fast in the day, though. So
you have to fast. Okay.
So you get to have breakfast. And
what does breakfast consist of?
Whatever you want. So as a 12-year-old, it was nice. So
what'd you eat?
They would ask you the night before.
Really?
Yeah,
so it was like a last meal type of...
No, they would just ask because they understand like you're doing this religious thing and they want to make it as comfortable for you as possible.
What are the options? Hold on now.
Oh, all of us were about the same age, like 13, 12. So we always asked for like McDonald's breakfast.
I was going to say, yeah.
If you asked for it, they would just go get it. Most of the time, it was just pretty simple stuff.
Was it a lot of Thai food?
Yeah, a lot of Thai food, a lot of rice, a lot of like fish, a lot of noodles. Literally whatever you wanted. Literally whatever you wanted. So, and there were rules around what you could and couldn't eat.
Oh.
At least after fasting time.
Oh, okay.
So you would do that. You would get like an hour break right around 10 o'clock.
What does your break entail?
You do whatever you want.
What did you do?
Me and the other guys just hung out.
Soccer? Video games?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think we played video games. But we did. They had a TV for us. And
you got to watch TV in monk training?
So then at 10 o'clock, you do it again.
Wait, hold on. What did you watch on TV?
I don't remember.
Like Saturday morning cartoons?
That kind of thing. Just hang out. And then it was like a 2-hour lesson after that. So we go back to the temple, do the chant, do the meditation, and then it was classwork time. So you'd learn...
Classwork?
You'd learn more chants and what the purpose of them were. And
so you would learn Bible study?
Kind of.
Okay.
And then you would learn about Siddhartha or Buddha, whatever you want to call him,
mm-hmm.
and the journey and as to why we suffer as humans and what enlightenment is supposed to be. And then it's lunchtime. Lunchtime, same deal. Eat whatever you want. But after that meal,
That's it.
There's no more food. You can drink water. But we learned that, I don't know if it's because we were in America, mm-hmm. but you can have ice cream because ice cream is not eating. Right? Like there's no need to have the physical sensation of chewing for ice cream. You can lick your ice cream. So if you got really hungry, you could have ice cream.
That's funny.
We had like these... like lemon popsicles.
I would have been living off of ice cream every day.
Yeah, like you could have lemon popsicles because you're not eating.
That sounds good too.
Right? Like you could do stuff like that. You just couldn't have a meal. You couldn't have your rice with whatever.
Okay.
And I mean, us being 12, we may have broken that a few times. Just being really hungry.
And being kids. Just
being kids.
Like, and being in America. I know in Thailand they wouldn't have.
No, it probably doesn't fly there. But
nope, you cannot eat till tomorrow morning and then we'll get you your french fries.
And you're not supposed to touch women.
Well, I mean, that makes sense.
So even if a woman gives you something, like if you were to hand me something, I couldn't take it from you directly.
I would have to give it to somebody else to give it to you?
We would have there's like this little plate and it's got a cloth on it. You'd have to place it on that before I could grab it.
Okay.
But the only exception was I had something wrong with my eye.
Mm-hmm.
But I was still like full-blown monk. I was still sworn in.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, look, your dad can come pick you up. And if it's a female doctor and she has to touch you, she has to touch you.
Oh, okay.
Like, just know that that's okay.
They're not going to put you at risk for losing an eyeball.
Yeah. And I mean, it's within reason. Like, in that case. So I do remember it was just like I got a few hours to hang out with my dad and I fondly remember walking through, I think it was a Walgreens or a CVS, grabbing some candy. But like full blown, I had the robe on and everything.
Walking
through Walgreens.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, you know,
can you tell your stomach to stop growling? His stomach is growling so hard.
But yeah, so you kind of go about your day. And then after lunch, you don't eat.
Hold on. We were talking about the doctor.
Yeah. So I went to the doctor and they were okay with if I had to be touched to fix
Did you
my
have
eye.
A female doctor?
I did not. So I do remember that.
Do you remember what kind of candy you grabbed at Walgreens?
I think it was like a Werther's.
How dare you pick a Werther's and there's like Reese's peanut butter cups, but Kit Kats.
You have to eat those things.
Oh, so you were just sucking on a candy?
Yeah, I would suck on a Werther's and
so
it would be okay.
So you were still
Yeah.
What is it? Self-conscious? No.
No, just aware. Aware. I've tried to toe the line.
That's really good for a teenage boy. Well, teenager in general.
Yeah. And I felt like, you know, if I was going to spend my time there, I was going to do this right or as right as I could.
I mean, I don't know. I think that's really good because well, I guess it just depends on the person. Because if it was me, I'd have been like, I'm starving. Yeah. Can we just go get something to eat?
Yeah, grab some fries or something. And I remember like being 12. And I think on the second week, they had like a big big thing.
Potluck.
Every week on, I think it was either Saturday or Sunday. Probably Sunday. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Religious thing.
Mm-hmm. It's God's day.
Not only did they do the whole temple ceremony, but vendors would come. So restaurants would come and people would sell food, like street food style, or they'd sell goods. So on one of those weeks, another temple came as like a field trip for them. Mm-hmm. And they decided, you know what? We're going to have the two American kids. There were three of us, but two of us got, they were like, oh, you guys got to come up with a speech.
Oh,
so I'm 12 years old.
Put you on the spot.
Put us on the spot. And they told us like a week in advance. The other kid made his speech way better than mine.
Oh, what happened? What was the speech? Why did they want you guys to?
They just wanted us to talk about our experience.
Oh, okay.
So, but they also wanted to do it in Thai. So, for those of you who don't know, Thai is my first language. Like, I learned English second, but my Thai is not exactly impeccable.
Not for a bunch of Thai people.
Exactly. Like, my Thai is pretty good. And a lot of people, when I came off, like, they were like, oh, you know, I guess the person who introduced me also mentioned that Thai isn't my, like, strong language. Like, it's not my main language.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody, when I got off, and everyone was like, oh, you did great, especially, you know, if Thai is not your first language kind of thing.
You would have fooled me, because whenever I hear you speaking Thai, it always sounds like it just comes right out of you.
It does, but I think there's, because when I meet people who speak Thai,
mm-hmm.
half of them say, you're Thai, I wouldn't have guessed. Like, mm-hmm. I would think you're just a Thai person. And then the other half say, oh, I can tell you have a little bit of an accent.
Really?
Yeah. But then I hear some other people speak Thai, and I'm like, that doesn't sound like Thai. So I don't know. It's probably just me.
But so you had to do this. What was the speech about?
It was just my experience. And I remember saying, I'm sure I had cortisol levels through the roof. So I'm at the point in my life where I like public speaking now.
Now.
But when I was 12, it probably wasn't there.
Of course. I don't think anybody's that like ready to talk in front of a bunch of strangers at 12.
So, yeah,
very few and far between.
It was, they just wanted me to talk about my experience and being so young and going through everything and how it was at the
and how was it?
It was cool. It was a cool life experience.
I feel like it did mold you in a certain way, because I definitely didn't go through an experience like that. And I definitely did a lot of bad things as a kid.
Well, I think that was just the way I was raised anyway. I was not.
I was raised right.
I'm not saying you weren't raised right.
What do you say? I have the last child syndrome.
Yeah.
Youngest kid syndrome. Youngest of six. What can I say?
Yeah. And I was an only child. So I basically was very mature. I never got into too much trouble. Actually, I didn't get in any trouble.
Yeah, I was the opposite.
Yeah.
I had to push the buttons. That's
probably why we're together.
Yeah. Opposites attract.
Yep.
But you were talking about how you didn't even get a fun candy because you were so conscious about your choice. And I felt that with the monk from this garden. He seemed so passionate about helping people find their enlightenment. He said that humans need to stop fighting with each other and learn to compromise. And that if we all gather together in unity and help improve our society, that it would make the world that we live in a more beautiful and happy place to be. And it's just like this coming from the man who has
the most,
the scariest horrific, nightmarish statues. Yeah, staring people's down nightmares at you.
Are not this scary. If you guys are curious and you can stomach it, go ahead and give it a Google. Give it a Google image search.
I'm going to spell it out for you guys. You can look up Thailand Hell Garden. That's probably the easiest. But it's called Wang, Wang, Wangsaensuk.
I don't know how to say that. So sorry, guys.
Wang San Suk. I got the Suk right. I know I got that one right. Yeah. That's what I think the official name is. I could be wrong about that too. Google Thailand's Hell's Garden. And if it doesn't pop up, you can type in, I guess, the city Chonburi.
Yeah. Chonburi.
You can type that in and it will eventually come up. Google, YouTube, whichever one you decide to venture on. And
report back.
Report back and tell us how traumatizing this is.
Because, you know, most people, when they go on their Instagram and look at me, I'm in Thailand. You know, they do that over the jungle or over the beach and it's beautiful. But a lot of people don't venture off into
not
this
into
part.
The nitty gritty no. of what Thai people are all about.
Yeah, there's some crazy places there, and it's weird because I guess you would consider it like a second world country.
Kind of, yeah.
Right, like it's not 100% modernized everywhere, but it's also not. There are definitely parts where it's like third world.
I have never been there.
It's you get it's out into like the jungle
from you.
And it's crazy
to think that there is a jungle. I recently saw a picture of Troy in a zoo with an orangutan standing.
Just hanging out.
It looks like you guys are hanging out. You and just an orangutan just hanging out. Or a chimp. I don't remember what it was.
We're just hanging out. Maybe we can post it online.
You would never do that in America.
No, you can't.
First of all, PETA would shut you down so quick.
And I remember, I don't know if I've told this story on here before.
I don't think so. This is only your second time. The first one, we only talked about horror movies. No, horror movies.
What happened to our UFO one?
Did we talk about UFOs?
I think that was on there.
Oh, yes. Mount Shasta. Yeah.
But I remember my dad took me Phuket.
Mm-hmm. I think everybody knows Phuket.
Yeah.
But nobody ever pronounces it Phuket.
Yeah. So there's like this animal. I don't know if it's like a conservatory or if it's a zoo. I can't really remember. But you can walk through and you can feed the monkeys. And they before you go in, there's like this little gift shop. And
of course.
You can buy bags of peanuts and you can feed these little guys. So we bought a bag of peanuts and we're walking through. And me being a little kid, I put the bag of peanuts down for a second. Right? To whatever. Tie my shoe, talk to my dad. I just put the bag of peanuts down.
Yeah, a kid. You got distracted.
Yeah, you don't want to hold stuff when you're a kid. This little monkey climbs from the top of the tree. He scurries down. He snatches my bag of peanuts and he climbs all the way up.
And there goes
my bag of peanuts.
Your bag of peanuts.
And I look up. I'm like, Dad, he stole my bag of peanuts. And he's like, what do you want me to do? He looks up at it. And he goes, he's going to enjoy his bag of peanuts now.
Your dad got that monkey a bag of peanuts.
Pretty much. Instead of me feeding him, he just came and stole my bag of nuts.
Yeah, Thailand's a whole different world. And I hope to go there soon. I will not be going to Hell's Garden.
No, we're going to skip that. We're going to do the Instagram-worthy touristy stuff because that's what I'm looking forward to, too.
Yeah, that looks way more fun than going to see my eternal damnation come to life before my eyes.
I remember on the beach, you can reserve a bungalow and they will bring you fresh seafood and crack it and peel it and do whatever right in front of you and just serve it to you. I was like, yes.
I'll watch and enjoy that for you because I don't eat seafood.
I do.
I might do a bite of shrimp. And it has to be but I can't do the fresh shrimp, like no breading. I need that.
It's gotta be cooked.
I need them to mask it with something. Something American.
I'm looking forward to that. And the noodle, it's called Kwa Teo Lua, which translates to like boat noodles. And there's if you haven't seen it yet, there's
a whole
marketplace on boats.
Oh, that place. Yeah. I've seen it.
So, and these people will just cook. And they'll do whatever and they'll do it on their little boat and they'll hand you a bowl of noodles.
Oh, yeah.
That's where it comes from.
Seen it plenty of times on YouTube because I plan our trip to Thailand every year and we still have yet to go. We'll get there one day.
Yeah.
But besides that, this is our little version. Not so little. This is probably like an hour long podcast at this point of the Hell's Garden in Thailand. I hope we didn't traumatize anybody out there. I hope you guys enjoyed this. I hope you guys enjoyed Troy again. This is your third appearance.
Something like that.
Appearance? There's no appearance.
Is it an appearance? I've appeared within the podcast.
That wraps up this episode.
Thanks, everybody.
Troy's going to say his goodbye. Remember to subscribe to Las Brujas and Friends podcast. Follow us on Instagram and on Twitter. For Instagram, we're at Las Brujas Podcast, and on Twitter, we're at Brujas Podcast. Any feedback, suggestions, or personal testimonials that confirm these stories will confirm this garden.
If you've ever been there, hit us up.
Yeah, we would love to read them and talk about them again. A question for you. Would you ever go to Hell's Garden? Because I know I won't. Join us. Next week, hopefully. I'm sorry we haven't been posting consistently, but join us next week for another episode. Until then, see you later.
Bye.